So speaking of that, we're going to talk more types and shadows. You okay with that? So part two, here's the main thing. It's all about Jesus. Every message has to be about Jesus. I think you're starting to get that. And so I'm going to show you, review a little bit from last week, and then show you some more types and shadows. But everything has to be about the Old Testament were types and shadows of good things to come. I've heard said that a million times. Jesus said, listen, this is how you interpret the scripture. It's all written about me. And he said, you know what, on the road to Emmaus, he said, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets was written about me. It's all types and shadows of good things that he's going to do, future tense, but now, they're now. That's what Hebrews 11 says. But now, faith is the real thing. It's not enough of faith, that's how it's taught, and if you had enough of it right now, it would happen. He's trying to give you time frame. It was the Old Testament was future, but now we have it all. That's all it is. Faith is the reality that Jesus did everything for us that that Bible said he's going to do, and now they're yours. And until you keep hearing that message, you can't receive it. Does that make sense? If it's you have to qualify, guess what? You're back into the works. And Jesus said, listen, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Adam and Eve, did they have everything in the garden? They had everything. So the serpent comes, and what did he tell them to do? Did he tell them to go sin? No. But that's the spiritual warfare. Everybody's trying to battle sin. I go, you can't. You can't battle it. He's the deceiver. What did he have to do? Hey, you know, if you do these things, then you'll be like God. The works of the devil are not him trying to get you to get into the world and all this stuff. The works of the devil is trying to convince you that you don't have everything that Jesus said you have. So I guess I better go work for it. Does that make sense? So if you're, this should help you. If you ever go, what am I doing wrong? That's the wrong question. Because we did that forever. What am I doing wrong, Lord? This isn't working. My life worked until I became a Christian. You know why? Because they started showing me the law. It started disqualifying me. And that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to make you feel terrible and go, I can't qualify. So every man is guilty, so they have to go, save me, Lord. Now my holiness, my righteousness, my blessedness, my finances, everything's from you in Jesus' magnificent name. That's the new covenant. It's a free gift. That's what you need to get. Does that make sense to you guys? So we can't go look at Old Testament stories and take lessons from them if they're not about Jesus, because you're going to get the wrong lesson. And I see a lot of ministries teaching the wrong lesson. Well, I'm not even going to get into that because Jesus said that's all written about me. That's what he told the Jews. He goes, you search the scriptures looking for life, but you don't realize they testify about me. He goes, you're not going to listen to Moses because Moses was talking about me, so I know you're not going to listen to me. It's the same thing. So I'm just going to show you Jesus from the Old Testament, and then we'll show you the reality in the New Covenant. Is that cool? But the bottom line, if you get confused, because sometimes I know, like for me, after a while, I'm like, everything I learned was wrong. It was all wrong. Went to Bible school, and it was all wrong. It was all wrong because a little bit of mixture destroys the whole thing. So if you add a little bit of mixture, it's all wrong. That's what people don't realize because everybody goes, well, they got a little good. No, it was all wrong if they mixed it. That's what it says because we kind of feel good. Then that little bit of leaven of works, like, oh, I guess it's not working, right? That just means there's part of the gospel you don't believe yet, and it's not your lack of faith. It's just you don't realize it's that good, that I can really believe for that. Yeah, man, that's what you need to believe for. You guys got it? All right, so you guys know if you come to God right now, total mess, what are you going to find? Grace and mercy. Mercy means, mercy is the opposite of karma. Karma is religion. Karma is I did this, so now I expect this from God. And it's good or bad. You eat from the tree of the knowledge of good or evil. Hey, if I'm good, then he's going to be good. Or if I eat bad, then I'm going to eat bad. It's the same. The end up is death. It's always going to bring you to, I'm really not qualified. I don't care how good you are, because then someday you're going to go, man, I was doing so good. And then today happened. Have you ever been there? Every day. And then you go, oh, I'm so bad. And then I feel better because I did a little bit better the next day. Eventually it's going to fall in the same place. It's death. It leads to death. So anyway, I just want you to show that. Mercy means you'll never get what you deserve. You're going to be surprised what he does to you. You'll be surprised. Now, remember, the first time I heard Joseph Prince this, it freaked me out at first because it was so anti what I wrote. He goes, when you've messed up the worst is when you ask for the biggest blessing. And I remember going, wow, that's a trip right there. Wow. They'll throw me out of the elders board if I preach that. Don't you? And we joke about that. Most of the stuff we teach up here will get you thrown out of most churches. So I'm proud of you being here. And then grace means, Lord, I don't deserve this, but you're just going to keep on blessing me despite me. Thank you, Father. That's mercy and grace. His throne has been returned from judgment to grace. Okay? You guys get it? All right, let's go back and review a couple of these types and shadows. Genesis 3, how many of you guys remember hearing, man, Adam and Eve sinned and God was ticked off, so he drove them out of the garden. Isn't that what we thought? Nothing could be further from the truth. So he drove out the man. That's where we see him as this angry guy, but they don't read the next sentence. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. You guys know what the cherubims are, right? Those are the little angel things at the edges of the mercy seat, right? And a flaming sword which turned every way. Why were those placed there? Read the next sentence. To keep the way to the tree of life. He goes, I'm not mad at man, but if he eats from the tree of life right now in this guilty conscience, he's going to live in eternity in guilt. And that's not what I want. I want him to live in eternity with complete righteousness and holiness. So his grace is what kept them. He said, listen, I'm going to bring man back into heaven, into Eden, into pleasure, is literally what it means. I'm going to bring him into this comforting, pleasuring life again by placing cherubim and a flaming sword. And we kind of saw that last week already. If those are all about Jesus, if you read the New Covenant, he tells you what all these types and symbols are, doesn't he? So what was the flaming sword? Jesus, but where does it tell us it's that? Hebrews, it says, listen, he's a double-edged sword, sharper than double-edged sword. He goes, and he divides asunder to be spirit and soul, bone and marrow. Dividing asunder means the message of Jesus, the flaming sword, because he said, you know what, is the word of God. Isn't that what it says? That sword is the word of God, and then it says, who's the word of God? Jesus is the word of God. So this message of Jesus and his blood between the cherubim is what's going to bring us back into the pleasure, into the Garden of Eden. Then if you go all the way to the end, if you go to Revelation, it says, we overcame him by what? And? We overcame him by the blood. Jesus placed his blood between the cherubim and the message of his testimony. The word of our testimony. What's our testimony? Jesus' blood, that's how we overcome. You see how the whole thing fits together? We've got people running around with swords and confusion. So Jesus said, that's all written about me. So then now you start having fun with it and go, Lord, show me where this is. So God was never angry at man. His plan from the beginning was to send Jesus to redeem man and bring us back into loving family. How? By his blood and his message. The flaming sword is him, his message, right? The word became flesh. And that message of you're completely sinless, you got to start to experience life, don't you? Okay, you guys get it? So everybody's running around trying to get it. And I'm not going to name things, but some people need the anointing and need this and fall down and get a touch and all this stuff, and that because they need the power of God. It says, you know what? The power of God is in the message. Is the power of God unto salvation is in the message of Jesus Christ. And what's that? Man, I'm sinless and I'm prosperous, healed, holy in his name. Hallelujah. That's the thing we got to plant in our heart. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, let's keep going. And so he tells us some of these things. So he tells us in the beginning, listen, here's between the cherubim and the message of Christ is how I'm going to redeem you back into the Garden of Eden. All right? So now we go into the New Testament. It's not New Testament yet, but it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are literally the four beasts around the throne. Maybe I'll teach that someday. But Mark, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. What does it say in Revelation? The Son of Righteousness. Oh, it's in Malachi, I'm sorry. The Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings. Right? If you read Psalm 91, it said, listen, I wanted to gather you between the wings. That holy place. What's all he's saying? He goes, I want you to gather you into Jesus. Does that make sense? So if you go read Malachi, it says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. All he's doing is hearing the same message over and over and over and over. So, all right. So, and he said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? When you did something bad on the old covenant and it was punishable by death, what did they do to you? They stoned you. They showed the stones. Does that make sense? It says the law of sin and death. If you messed up any way, guess what? Give them the stones. That's been Christianity for 2,000 years. If you messed up, show them how. See, look at it. If you were a better Christian, look at this. It says, don't do these 10 things. And Jesus' message was, all of you have missed every one of those 10 things. Because if you've even thought about it in the New Covenant, it says you're guilty. Amen? So, this is what people do not understand. The message written and engraved on stones was designed to kill you. Designed to go, I can't do this, Lord. It was never meant to follow. That's why, you know, I got into this lengthy argument with this guy, and I've heard all the arguments. The minute we took the Ten Commandments out of school is when everything happened. No, no. We started preaching religion to its hilt, and people felt guilty, and marriages broke up, kids left, etc. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it's better. That's why I love what Joseph Prince says. Get the Ten Commandments out of there and go put John 3:16 in there. It said, God so loved the world, he came to redeem man. He goes, I didn't come to judge you, I came to save you, if you read the next verse. Everybody knows John 3:16, they don't know the next verse. You want me to read it to you? Yeah. John 3:16, growing up, I remember the weird hairy, rainbow-haired dude behind the goalposts. That's what John 3:16 was to me. You know what I'm talking about? Wide world of sports. You guys know what I'm talking about? You lived a sheltered life. You don't remember the black guy with the rainbow-colored hair, John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge it, but through the world he might be saved. I wish they'd read 17. He didn't come to judge, man. He came to save you. Isn't that beautiful? All right, so they rolled away the stone. So literally it means, hey, the old covenant's been rolled away. That's why if you see anything old, fading, what are some other things they use in scripture about it? Going away, losing its luster, that's all old covenants going away. The stone's being rolled away. Now you start going, okay, the old covenant's being rolled away. Does that make sense? All right. So, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? So in the book of Revelation, they're crying. They said, you know what? Nobody can open these seals. There's weeping, and we can't find anybody, any man, good enough to save us from the seal of sin and death, because sin and death owns us right now. And then all the elders of the church said what? Stop crying, weep not. The Lamb is worthy to open the seals. So the Lamb was what bought you back. It redeemed you. Seals was ownership. Does that make sense? All right. So they rolled away the stone of the sepulchre. When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And in John's account, it says, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stopped down and looked into the sepulchre. And what did she see? She saw the mercy seat. She saw the two angels sitting at the head and the foot of the slab with Jesus' blood on it. Hallelujah. So he's the fulfillment of all those Old Testament promises. You guys see that? So what does that mean? The Jews understood. They said, you know what? As long as I bring a lamb and the high priest, you guys have heard me say this a million times, but it's such a good message. It's the message of Christianity. If I'm a sinner in the old covenant, what did I have to do? Did I have to go to confession? No. No. I don't know why we do that in the new covenant, but we do. So we brought the lamb to the high priest. Did the lamb ask us what we did wrong? No. What did he do? To see if the substitute was perfect. Because if that substitute is without spot or blemish, that lamb, then I'm going to receive the spotlessness even though I'm guilty of all of it. So all of my sin is going to be transferred to the lamb, but all of the blessing, the favor, etc., as if I was the perfect human being, is transferred to me. Hallelujah, man. That's the gospel. So they would bring a lamb, and Jesus goes, that was all a picture of me. I was the real lamb, so now you're forever holy and blameless in my sight. Nobody believes that in the new covenant church. They don't believe they're sinless. Man, that'll get you thrown out of church. Yet that's the gospel. You've been forgiven eternally, right? Isn't that the truth? Did you ever hear that growing up? Isn't that crazy? You have the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation is what it says. Reconciliation means all your debts are paid. Now we hear that, but then the next Sunday they go, now if you're involved in this, stop doing this. They put the stones right back at us. They put the veil right back up where we can't receive Jesus. Does that make sense? All right. So they saw the two angels sitting in white, the one at the head, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Here's what you need to do every day, guys. You need to wake up and go, you know what? The body and the blood of Jesus was my perfection. And I receive his sinlessness, I receive his holiness, I receive every blessing today in Jesus' magnificent name. If I'm in trouble, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to receive the favor of Jesus today. Could Jesus get out of every challenging situation? Then you get out of every challenging situation, not by your doing, by your planting that seed. It's going to be okay, Lord. Because I know I have the favor of Jesus. Amen? It doesn't mean stuff's not going to happen, right? Anybody ever had something happen to them on earth? Yeah. stuff happens. We say it differently in Iowa, but stuff happens, right? And so, something hits the fan, exactly right. Stuff happens. That's a true message. It's our reaction to it that matters, guys. Hey, stuff happens, and I don't want you to hear this message like, what did I do wrong? It's coming back to me. And God, you saw that sin back then, and that's why this is happening to me. If you know what, if you would have made a better decision, this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, that's not the gospel. That's judgment. Amen? The gospel is, I know you feel bad, but that's why this is such good news, is I'm going to act like it didn't even happen and bless you with the favor of Jesus. Hallelujah, man. That's freeing to me, isn't it? So, all right. So Jesus was the real one. Amen? All right, now let me show you one more, which is kind of cool. I'm just going to share this a little bit because I don't want to get into all Genesis 24 because it takes too long. There's too many verses. But here's where you got to start looking in the Old Covenant. It says, we look at these things in their types and shadows. So if you want to go to Genesis 24, I'm just going to read a couple things to you and then I'll summarize it here. But this is really cool when you get this. And then you start looking at Bible stories very differently, right? So here's Genesis 24. It says, in my subtitle, says, a bride for Isaac. So who was the father? Abraham. So there's a father and a son. What's missing? The Holy Spirit. Well, it tells us in Scripture that Eliezer is the Holy Spirit, right? In the New Covenant, Lazarus is the Holy Spirit. Lazarus is a Greek spelling of Eliezer, the Holy Spirit. So the father is looking for a wife for his son. And who does he send? The Holy Spirit. You guys get this? So you can't read these stories and the lessons of Abraham. Well, because then you're going to get Abraham prostituted his wife and he got rich. That totally blows the word of faith out the window. But that's exactly what happens. So people are like, so I'm supposed to pray? No, what he's showing you is that the covenant was unbreakable. He came to Abraham and he said, in blessing, I will bless you, Abraham. End of story. Not if you prostitute your wife, then I'm going to take away the blessing. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. And I'm going to be your banner, and I'm going to be your shield, and I'm going to be your exceeding great reward, is what he told Abraham. And you've heard me say this a million times, but this is kind of, this is one more type and shadow I want to show you. Now, Abraham was old. What's old? Old. Old. See, there's all kinds of things in there. Old covenant, right? Abraham's the father, and something was old, so he's going to get rid of the old and do what? He's going to send his Holy Spirit and find a bride for Jesus. That's what this is a type and shadow. It says, so now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and that's why you see Hebrews. It says, what was old and fading away is losing its glory. The old things are fading away. That's all old covenant, new covenant, old covenant, new covenant. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Hallelujah. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, here's the Holy Spirit right there. Say Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had. Amen? All that he had. Amen. All that he had. The servant has all that he has. Guess what? So when you believe in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, what do you have? All that he has. Amen? Amen? So, please put your hand under my thigh and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife from my son and daughters of the Canaanites, meaning of sin. No, I'm not going to do that. Among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac. So, the father is going, I'm going to get rid of this old thing, right? And I'm going to send my servant with everything that I have to give it to the wife for my son. You see where this is going? It's very different than what you learned in Bible school. You just memorize scripture most of the time. It doesn't, how much, I memorized Bible verses, it did me zero. He's the lion and the lamb. Well, thanks, but how does that help me? You know, I get into Mardell's and I see that picture of the lion and the lamb. That's nice. Unless I know what it means, it does nothing for me. Does that make sense? So, there's people that know the Bible a zillion times better than me, but I look at their life and I go, man, I want your life. If I have to know as much as you, then I'm stopped knowing right now. Because it's going to hurt me. And I'm just going down to verse 51. It says, here is Rebecca. That's obviously the bride that he found for Isaac. Take her, let her go, let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing. What did he give the bride? Silver is what? Redemption. Gold is what? divinity, and he gave you a new garment, the cloak of righteousness. Isn't that cool? So I just summarized that. So in Genesis 24, Abraham, who's obviously the father and who was old, that means he's going to get rid of this old system and he's going to go find a bride for his son, the new covenant. Isn't that cool? All right, so Abraham the father sends his servant, Eliezer, God's helper, God's comforter. Didn't he say, hey, it's good for me if I go because I'm going to send you what? The helper, the comforter. Follow me? All right. With all of his master's goods to a city called Nahor. Now Nahor, this is where it's fun. You start getting into this. It literally means breath or snorting. So what did he say? He said, listen, God breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Right? So he sent his servant, which is the Holy Spirit, and gave him the breath to the city called Nahor for a bride, and gave him everything the father had now has been transferred to you because you're the bride of Christ. You see how you start interpreting this stuff? Isn't that cool? All right, now let's go look at the new covenant fulfillment of this. How many of you guys have heard of Lazarus? After 4 days, he came out of the grave. Great. What does it mean? New covenant is exactly what it means, right? And I'm telling you, nobody teaches this kind of stuff, but it's all types and shadows of the reality that we have. So let's go look at this right now. John 11:38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, what? Take that old thing away. Take that stone away. Amen? So Abraham was old. We're going to get rid of this old man, and we're going to provide a bride for the son. All right? So Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! What's Lazarus? Holy Spirit, come forth. So the minute the Old Testament stones were rolled away, the new covenant at Pentecost, he gave you Nahor, his breath, to the church. Now we're the bride of Christ. See how this all works? Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Didn't Joel prophesy about this? Hey, this is the latter rain, the former rain and the latter rain. It's going to be poured out upon all flesh. That's what Peter said at Pentecost. They're not drunk, as you think. It's only 9 a.m. Some of the Cubs fans were still drunk at 9 a.m., but that's not what he was talking about. He's going, listen, no. This is the new covenant that they prophesied about, that the Holy Spirit's going to be poured on all of you. Amen? Isn't that cool? See, when the law is thrown away, the message written and engraved on stones that's designed to kill you and keep you in grave clothes, make you feel bad about yourself so you can never live, right? Roll that stupid thing away and receive his spirit. You guys get this? So the minute the stone was raised away, Lazarus come forth, and he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. The stone is completely gone. Now don't put the law back up and so you can't receive everything he's freely given you. Isn't that cool? You guys like that kind of stuff? Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. And so here's what I was taught. Have enough faith to command Lazarus to come out of the grave. How's that working for you? Sucks. But now when I get it, hey, the stone, the Old Testament rests away, and then he could breathe his life into us. He could, Lazarus, come forth, because the old covenant's gone. The old thing, that old thing's over. Amen? The stone's rolled away. You don't have to be in grave clothes anymore, guys. The law written and engraved on stones kills you. That's what it's designed to do. But the new covenant of the Spirit gives what? Life. It's freedom. The grave clothes are older. And that's all testimony, too. If you go, we're going to do a Christmas Eve service. I love that one where they just show the lamb was put in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those are literally grave clothes. I love that message. We do it once a year at Christmas Eve. It's so beautiful if you understand it, because it's not, you probably grew up with me like you have a couple shepherds outside in your yard with a light on it and this little rickety manger, right? How many of you got one in your yard? Anybody have one? Some of you guys, now you don't want to admit it. So so the manger is actually a feeding trough of stone, literally. So the lamb, Jesus, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it was, you guys went there, right? When you were in Israel, they were trying to show you where Jesus was born. And you guys called him on it, didn't you? He goes, wait a minute, I thought he was born at Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock. And what did he say to you? Right. No, we got a good gig going on here. All these Christians believe this crap, and so we're getting a lot of money to come over here. I'm serious. They're Jewish. Right? And all these pastors are doing, I'm looking at him going, how could, geez, Lord. It says he was born at the Tower of the Flock. And when those lambs were born, you know what they would do to him? They were high priests that would watch the lambs. The minute they were born, they would wrap them in swaddling clothes real tight. You ever seen a calf or a lamb that's just newborn? You ever grew up on a farm? Tulin, right? Are they flopping around all over the place? All over the place. Well, guess what? If it has any bruise or blemish, they can't use that lamb. So the minute that lamb was born, they wrapped it in swaddling clothes tight and they laid it in that stone trough so it wouldn't bruise itself. So Jesus goes, this is going to be a sign. This is how you're going to know I'm the real lamb. I'm going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes at the Tower of the Flock where you guys are doing all your lambs that are destined for the sacrifice. So the shepherds knew exactly. These guys are shepherds. They go, you know what? Hey, this is going to be the sign to you, shepherds. You're going to see him wrapped in grave clothes in a manger. I know where that is. That's where they get all the lambs that are born for the temple sacrifices at Migdal Eder. Right? But people don't want to go there. They got their gigs. They don't have to travel very far to get their money from Christians. I'm serious, guys. I'm serious. And you'll go on these Christian tour groups and they'll tell you that. Migdal Eder, it literally means Tower of the Flock. So they were at the watchtower that watched over. So when the lambs were getting ready to birth, they would bring them there. And the minute they were born, they would wrap them in grave clothes so they wouldn't get bruised.
And that's where the angels were all rejoicing.
Yeah, because they knew this is the real lamb. Those were types and shadows. All those lambs that were going to be sacrificed at the temple, Jesus wasn't born in some sloppy little thing. Let's do it. I love your entrepreneurship. Let's do it. Yeah, you guys can go do it. All right, we'll overcharge them to come there. So that'll be great. Oh, this is fun to me. See, Scripture is so powerful, but that's what all of that means. Everything's about this lamb that's going to redeem mankind, and now we're in the good covenant. Does that make sense? So let's finish this up. I'm starting records now, aren't I, for time. It's really awesome. So, hey, let's go back to the very first thing. He said, listen, here's how I'm going to preserve a way back to the tree of life. So you stop eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the law, and you're going to eat from Jesus, the very tree of life. He says, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on the east end of the garden. So when you walked into the temple, how could you come in? Which gate? The east end, right? And then you went to the next gate and the next gate. And all those gates, I don't know if they taught you this, but those gates into the temple are called the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus goes, I'm those gates. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he went backwards because he went from the inside out. So the first gate, which separated the holiest of holies from the holy place, was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus goes, all those gates are a picture of me. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Every you guys quote that, now you know what it actually means. All right? Jesus is the way. So he said, I'm going to preserve a way. I'm going to place the cherubim, the mercy seat at the east end of the garden, and my flaming sword. Now we see what it is. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Who's the word of God? Jesus. Now a lot of people know what Jesus is, but they don't know the message of Jesus. The logos of Jesus is what's going to bring you in. What's the logic of Jesus? If one man sinned, all are sinners. But if one is perfect, all are perfect. You're completely sinless and worthy to be blessed for the rest of your life because of one man's work. Guys, get it? That'll set you free. Exactly right. So he's telling us this is the way. In Hebrews means the crosser over. They're crossing over the River Jordan, which is just a picture of them crossing from the old covenant to the new covenant. Does that make sense? So, all right. So for the message of Jesus, I'm going to use it like that because that's the word of God. Okay? That's the logos, the logic of God is, hey, listen, my ways are so much higher than man's ways. Man's ways, I got to be good to get blessed. And if I'm bad, I get cursed. My ways are so different. I just need one, and I can bless everybody because of it. That's the mysterious ways in which he works. Follow me? It's so much better than our way. Isn't our way like, be good, and then you can be blessed? That's a bad way. God fought with that covenant, is what he said. So it's better than, it's the message of Jesus is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the divide and asunder, which means it divides and distributes to every part of you. Your spirit, your soul, and your body is literally what that means. The message of Jesus will touch your spirit, which is perfected already. Now your mind, will, and emotion starts to get perfected by the truth planted in your heart. That message. And guess what? That message will touch your outer flesh. You'll start to get healed effortlessly. And I'm all for the gifts of healing. We do it all the time here, guys, but I would rather have you just live healthy. The more you believe the cup, you guys get what I'm trying to say? As I would rather you be healthy, not pray for me, I need to be healed. We will do it today, and don't walk out of here not healed. But what I'm telling you is there's a better way. Stay healed. And the more I know, because it says the letter kills, the more you believe the wrong stuff, guess what? Scripture says this. Paul calls them the weak and beggarly elements of that old covenant. The law will make you weak. Your body starts shutting down. All these goofy things that you see, all these commercials you're going to see on TV today, when you're watching TV, right? When you get this old, things stop working, men. That's the message you start seeing. Isn't that what it says? So take, well, that's what it says. But he's like, no, that's not what's supposed to happen. Follow me? You know, come on. Every other commercial is the little blue pill, right? So, all right. I'm just being honest. But this message of what's in our heart. This is why I get on all the health stuff. So I'm on you guys because your stuff's coming upon you that doesn't need to come upon you because you're health conscious. I'm just telling you. Is when you start focusing on that, it actually starts to kill you. Does that make sense? And Joseph Prince, go listen to his food message. You think I'm nuts half the time, but he takes a food message. He goes, I was never so weak and fragile when I tried to start getting my health from my diet. He goes, if you've never heard the message, it's powerful. He goes, listen, I started only eating brown rice, and he would only go to Whole Foods and all this stuff. He goes, I was the sickest I've ever been in my life. That's not me, because you guys, I know, that's how I believe my whole life. That's why, hey, you guys brought pork rinds Wednesday night to the World Series. I'm like, do you know you're not supposed to eat pork? Of course you can. That's why Peter said, listen, you can eat, don't, yes, Nathan, yes. Okay, you get what I'm saying. All right. Why? Because you know what? It starts to judge you because guess what? Now you don't even dare to have dessert or you don't have to do this. And then, oh, geez, I shouldn't do that. Right? You know, that stuff will give you this. If you're an ingredients reader, you're dying, guys.
Just don't be a glutton, that's all.
Even if you are. You know what? Until you're free to even be a glutton, you won't be free from it. You know what? When you're free, where you're not worried about gluttonous, you won't be a glutton. No, because the law is not there anymore. Is that right? Until you're free, you're not free. Yeah, neither do I. What's in that? I have no idea. I just like it. It tastes good, so I eat it. Amen? Everything I'm telling you is true. It says nothing that goes in a man defiles a man. It's what's in his heart that defiles him. Does that make sense? So they start believing this nonsense. All right? So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Hey, listen, Jesus said, this is where I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you between the wings of the cherubim. My blood's going to be there and my message is going to be there. Amen? So when we come boldly to the throne today, right now, let's make this practical. Do you deserve everything that Jesus died for? Yes. You do not have to be afraid to come to him. Amen? And we're going to do some provocative stuff. Where's Max? Yeah, we were sharing some provocative stuff. Yeah. Verlo, it was okay. No, seriously, I go, hey, these are the kind of messages that need to get out. One was just like this. Are homosexuals going to heaven? Yes. Of course they're going to heaven. I go, you know how many hate messages we'll get on YouTube? But I love it because that's the gospel. That's the only thing that can get them out of their judgment and condemnation. Amen. Does that make sense? So we're going to do provocative stuff like that. So if you can't get the heat, get out now. Because it's...
But I, it's the same with abortion.
Amen. I don't know if you heard what he said, but you know the... Hallelujah, man. He just said, it's the same with abortion. I go, exactly, man. These knuckleheaded Christians picketing. I go, that mom feels bad. Now you just made her feel worse.
Exactly, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
What's the message of Christ?
What is abortion? Murder. How many times have you had the anger?
Yes. Yes. You know why? Because you're under the law. The works of the flesh are obvious, so I teach people. So if you've got anger, if you've got adultery, perverted thoughts, etc., I'm not mad at you, and it's just obvious to me what's going on in your life. You're under the law.
Amen.
The works of the obvious, or the works of the flesh, meaning I have to do something to be pleasing to God, is going to cause what you don't want. Now you're in Romans 7, Paul. What is wrong with me?
Yeah.
I never was this messed up till I accepted Christ. Because now, guess what you're doing? They're giving you the law. They're throwing the stones instead of taking the stones away. And now Paul says this. He goes, listen, I do what I don't want to do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. What's wrong with me? That's Paul's Romans 7 message.
Who will rescue
Who will rescue this knuckleheaded dude that I am? And that's Paul. He said, listen, I didn't lust until somebody said, don't lust. Now I'm lusting. And guess what? Christians, isn't that what started to happen to you? It wasn't even an issue until you became a Christian. Now stop doing this. What is wrong with me? I used to not worry about any of this stuff. Now I'm worried about it. Guess what? That's what the law was designed to do, to finally get you to go, man, Jesus, you are so good. Thanks for your, there's no judgment in you. Amen? Is that, you guys get that? That's the message of Christianity. So we're going to do some provocative things like that, right? You know what? Because we need to free these people up. And we need to free the people up in the church too, because they're going, Lord, what is wrong with me? I'm doing all these good things, yet nothing's being blessed in my life. Because you're still touching it. You're still doing. You're still touching that law versus, there's nothing wrong with me, man. That's why I can receive the blessings of Jesus. That's the new covenant. You guys get it? All right, let's finish this up. Anybody want to leave yet? That'll get me thrown out of an elders board, what I just said right there. So the old covenant stones have been rolled away, guys. Guess what? The grave clothes are off. You've been free from that law of sin and death. We are now the spotless bride of Jesus. He sent, the minute the old covenant, the stones were rolled away, he said, Lazarus, now come. I can give my spirit on all flesh. When that old one was rolled away. Does that make sense? Now the new covenant of just believing the right thing. I can see you're like working right now. You got something? And you spent money to go see where Jesus wasn't born? Yeah. I know. They just showed that. They just undid the tomb of Jesus. That's not where he was born, sorry. How much did it cost you to go on that tour? Go get your money back. He was born at Bethlehem, Ephrata. He was born in the house of God in fruitfulness. At Migdal Adar, the tower of the flock. Yeah, get your money back. So that's what he's saying. Listen, now he got rid of the old covenant. He goes, I'm going to put you in a new covenant, a marriage covenant, that you're spotless, perfect, holy with Jesus. Aren't we called the bride of Christ? Nobody knows what that means. That means whatever Jesus has is now 100% yours. Is he righteous? Then guess what? You can't get any more righteous than you are. Is he holy in every way? Yes, then how holy are you? Just as holy as the Pope. Or whoever. Whatever you grew up worshiping, the bishop or whoever. Right? All saints. That's why Paul... Hey, listen. Hey, guess what? I'm gonna save you a lot of time. You don't have to see a vision or do anything to be the Pope, to be called a saint. Paul said, ye are saints in Christ. Amen? Every one of you are saints. Welcome to the sainthood. That's what it... Yeah, Popovich. That's what we were talking about. Lily means son of the Papa. Right? That's what it means, honestly. Isn't that wild? Son of the Papa. Hallelujah. So, not the Pope. Well, they call him Papa. Like I got your message. It was great. That's a whole nother talk. Come boldly to the throne. You will never get what you deserve. That's mercy. He said, my throne is mercy. Hey, guys, if you blew it to the millionth degree, ask for your biggest blessing today. He's going to give you mercy. Like, whoa, you're not even mad at me, Lord? See, I want people to want to come to church because they hear how good they are. Does that make sense? Not feel unworthy to come in here. If any of you, I'm going to slap you silly if you make them unworthy to be here. So you will never get what you deserve. Instead, you will always experience grace, which is his supernatural favor. Amen? Get to your feet. You guys good? Does that help you? Hey, the throne, the stones have been rolled away. Lazarus, come forth. It's all a picture. Is now you're the bride of Christ. Amen? Isn't that cool? It's cool, isn't it? The whole thing's about Jesus. That's what people miss. You're going to hear messages about faith, authority, all this stuff. How about just Jesus? How about you're forgiven? Because it says that's the power of God unto salvation. Amen? When you realize, like, I'm worthy of it all, and I start planting that seed in my heart that I'm worthy to be blessed, man. Hey, listen, I know it's so fun for me to watch. I know I'm using Laura, but that's all you're doing, aren't you? You getting up early reading your Bible? No, you know what she's doing? Lord, you're so good to me. Right? Thank you that you love me like the perfect daughter. Man, you're such a good papa. You're such a good daddy. Man, Lord, just give it to me more. Give it to me more. You love to give it to me. Because everything that the Father had, Abraham had, he gave the Holy Spirit to go give it to the bride. Amen? So everything Jesus has now is yours. How's that sound? Is that good? So I want you to know you're completely sinless and forgiven forever. Amen? that's becoming a Christian. Now you're born out of that spirit, out of believing the right thing. Yeah. You know what? If you believe Jesus, see, we were having this discussion. They go, you know what? Get up here and repeat after me. I believe Jesus died for my sins, was dead for 3 days. On the third day, he rose again. Amen. Congratulations, you're now a Christian. How many guys went through that experience and nothing changed? Hallelujah. Why did Jesus rise after the third day? Because we were completely sinless. I rose when I knew that every sin had been paid and you've been completely justified. That was the message of Peter in Cornelius' house. The minute, go read it closely. Everybody's talking about the baptism of the Spirit and all this stuff. The minute the Spirit fell is when they were forgiven of every sin. The Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak in tongues. That's what it is, the power of the gospel. What's the gospel? You've been forgiven, man. Everything Jesus has is now yours. Now you get to start experiencing life by believing the right thing. Now you're born out of that message, not of works. You guys understand what that all means? That's what it means. It says, listen, you were baptized into Christ's death. That means you were immersed in his death. When Christ died, who died? Your old man died. Now you're baptized in the Spirit in him, right? What does that mean? I'm immersed in the new covenant belief system. I'll put you in water if you want. We'll baptize with the Spirit if you want, but that's not what any of that means. It means you're a new person, and you start to believe the right thing by believing the right thing. Amen? And you get that old heart, that stony heart out of there, and you can start to hear him clearly. You start to hear words of knowledge. You freely receive all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave you. Does that make sense? Me coming and trying to push you over and receive something, you're not going to receive it. By receiving it, I go, Mina, I get it all? Yeah, you get it all right now. If you want to fall down and get it, we'll do that too, but that's not what you need. I'm just serious. There's nothing wrong with that. But guess what? More people are getting free when you hear the gospel, because that's the gospel is what's designed to do. Amen? So if you believe that, if you believe you're completely sinless, here's the other thing I want you to believe. I want you to start expecting his supernatural favor today. Lord, bless me like nobody's business. And the hardest part's going to be, I'm still mildly retarded, Lord. I'm still messing up with all these sins today. What do you mean, bless me? It's not about you. You got to stop. You got to be born from that idea that I'm perfectly favored because of one man. By one man's obedience, I'm perfect forever. Bring every thought to that obedience is what it says. Hey, so do you guys deserve to be blessed today? Supernaturally, amazingly, more than you've ever done in your life this week in Jesus' magnificent name. You wake up in the morning and start saying that. I don't care what it looks like. You start going, Lord, you're going to take care of this deal. It's going to get better from this day forward in Jesus' magnificent name. That's entering to the rest. Does that make sense? The rest means I don't have to work for this. I just ask for it. Thank you, Father. And does he give it when you ask for it? Yes. What's holding him back? You. I withhold no good thing is what God says. Is your heart is allowing you not to receive it. Does that make sense? So how do you receive it? Keep putting the good things in there. And that said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. And I'm like, wow, it was easier than I thought. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Did that help? So Father, we love you. We magnify you. We thank you that every one of these people is holy and blameless. And they deserve to be perfectly healed today. They deserve to be perfectly blessed today. They deserve to be perfectly prospered today, divinely protected. That even when stuff's going on in the world, they go through it scratchless. And we just say thank you for that. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen, amen, amen. You're released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.